had a great week. As you can tell, I'm still recuperating from our week, but we had, oh man, a marvelous, marvelous time in God's Word. And we have a tradition every year that may make you happy you came today, or not so happy, depending on what you came for. If this is your was your only chance all year to come to fellowship on Sunday morning here, it's kind of a unique one, because we give our teens a chance to share, as well as our staff. And they've got some great things to share, believe you me. I know we have some of our younger 13, 14-year-olds who came for the first time and just went through some tremendous changes. We have some of our older 19 and 20-year-olds who came for like the umpteenth time and went through some tremendous changes. We have some staff with some wonderful things to share. And so I have let them know once again to, you know, be ready to make that available to all of you this morning. So I think what we're going to do is, any of you who would like to share, why don't you line up on this side of the room and we'll just take you one at a time, okay? At any rate, we had a wonderful time. For those of you who don't know, once a year we do a camp in Western Pennsylvania along with many of our teens from Pennsylvania, as well as all kinds of other places. And the number of places they come from just keeps increasing. There were some teens there this year from places I didn't know that God could live there anymore. But he must, because there's teens who came full of the Spirit of God and loving God's Word. So I was blessed to see them. And we're going to hear from some of them now. So here's the format, you guys. Tell us who you are, tell us how old you are, and tell us how many years you've been at teen camp. If you're staff, you could forego the middle one. Okay, and take it away.
My name is Brian Donahue. I'm 17 years old. This is my fourth year at teen camp. And what really blessed me was on Tuesday night, Tom taught on, part of it was about what we're in is not a physical battle, like what we're just battling some person. We're actually battling the adversary. Like, he is in this world. We do have to face him. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities." And those powers and principalities aren't just ghouls and goblins out there. They're people. They're people that the devil is working in against us. And when we battle against them, it's not with swords or daggers. It's with the Word. What they say to us against what we say to them. And when their words get into our heart, that's when the adversary really takes hold, when we let their words into our hearts. So what I really learned from teen camp was, if there's anything in your heart that is telling you can't, or you shouldn't, or you won't live the Word of God on a daily basis, that has to go back to the pit of hell where it came from. It just has no place in your life, and you have to get rid of it. And that's what I learned how to do at teen camp. That's what I'm going to endeavor to do on a daily basis now. So thanks, that's what I have to say.
Hi, my name is Dustin Doherty. I am 22, and it was my second year at teen camp. Never been a teen at teen camp, that's right. I'm thankful, yeah, I'm thankful I was allowed to go. Brian just said, you know, we are in a battle, but we're not sent here to battle just the adversary. There's going to be times for that, but we're sent here to fight for each other's believing, ultimately. To encourage each other's believing, to fight for it, to speak the Word to one another. Because there are two different kind of wisdoms in this world. There's the wisdom that comes down from God, that is from God, and there's the wisdom of this world. Do we get caught wrapped up into the things of this world? Where is our heart at? Where is our fear at? It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise. Oh, it's the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It says where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Are we laying up in our treasure in heaven, or are we sitting here thinking continually about the things in front of my face, the things that I see, my senses, my work, my job, Are we allowing God to work in our life to the point where we trust in Him solely, regardless, and not get tricked out of it, not have doubt? And we need to guard our heart, keep our heart diligently, and not just as a sluggard or a slothful man. Because as we do so diligently, our lips are going to be fit with what's in our heart. For out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as we continue to put the Word of God in our hearts, it'll come out. It'll be manifested in each one of our lives. But it takes seeking that. It takes putting it there. Not just putting it there, but keeping it there also. And it's not just a fight for yourself, but to see that in other people's lives and fight for that also. To be concerned not just with my own believing and my own growth, but others as well. And to walk with God, not only to see that need in other people's lives, to put it there, but ask God how you can do it, how you can bless people to fight for that believing. It was a great thing to see that at teen camp. It was a great thing that some men and women of God answered that call and did it. And bless their hearts, every one of them. So thank you.
I'm not that short. My name's Rosie Carter, and this is my 6th year at teen camp. I remember when I was 13 and I shared. Okay, and I'm 18 years old, and I was at teen camp this week, and it really, really blessed me a lot, and it blessed all you guys too, didn't it? Like, you guys are pretty cheerful right now, aren't you? And the reason why is because we had the Word in our hearts, and that's what we heard all week. You know, it wasn't like we were out in the world and all we heard was death and destruction, you know, turn on the radio or, you know, go to work for a day. And, like, it made me realize, like, how many of you guys come home from work every day or school and wonder why you're so drained at times? And then you turn on the TV for an hour or two, and then maybe you listen to the radio, and then maybe you speak that to your, you know, fellow family members or your friends or anything like that. And you just wonder why you might be so drained. And you wonder some more, and you wonder some more, and you go the next day doing the same thing. And I can tell you why you feel so drained. It's because the words that are coming in your heart and what you're keeping in there and what you're dwelling in. Like, you wonder why you're not so blessed sometimes. It's because you don't have the Word in your heart. You know, keep it there and guard it. It's very, very important. Very important. And I just wanted to read a couple verses of why it's so important to put the Word on in your heart and keep it there. And don't let people, you know, knick-knack at you and gangrene and just make you feel all miserable and incomplete, because that's not what you are. But you have to keep this in your heart to know that day by day. And it says in chapter 2 of Proverbs, it says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear or the awe of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then thou shalt understand righteousness," and I skip down to verse 9, "and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Wisdom enters in to thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Trust in the Lord," chapter 3, verse 5, "with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." You know, I could keep reading and reading Proverbs and reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and just the whole Bible, and you just get so blessed out of your freaking mind. You can't even control it sometimes. But the reason why is because it's the word. It's not because of, you know, you just feel uplifted for freaking no reason. It's because of here. You know, you wonder why you're so drained at work. It's because you're not keeping that word in your mind. You might feel like that sometimes, but you just have to realize and keep it there and guard it, because the adversary is just going to go and, like, attack you with words. It's just so important to keep that, dwell it, think of it, meditate on it. That's what David did, and you wonder why his life was so great sometimes. And I'll stop talking. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Kristen Kelly. I'm 14, and this is my second year at teen camp. And it was really, really awesome. On Tuesday night, Tom did, like, a really, really powerful teaching, and part of it that really got me was how much God really does love us and how valuable our lives are to Him. And, like, I don't know, something he said was, not word by word, but if only you believed, or like a couple people believed, it would have been worth it to God to give His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for you. If only you believed, it would have been worth it to God. He loves you that much. After that, like, a whole bunch of lights just kind of popped up in my head, like, whoa, I get it. I don't know. And another thing, how valuable our lives are to God, like, the value of something depends on its price. You know, like, how much you pay for it. I don't know. Yeah. Like, our price that God paid for us was the blood of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and that was the most valuable thing in the entire world. I mean, God paid the most valuable thing in the world for us, so now, to God, we're the most valuable thing in the world. Like, I don't know, we're so valuable to God. And another thing was, like, we shouldn't get tricked into thinking that we're nothing. It's so stupid. I mean, I don't know. I do sometimes, but, and everybody does, I know, but we mean so much to God. We mean so much to God, and we really need to understand that. It's so important, and we shouldn't get tricked into thinking that, I don't know, like, the devil doesn't want to bother me, he'll try to throw the more mature believers off the word or whatever, but I mean, if you think about how valuable we are to God, we're the most important things in the world to Him, the devil's gonna come after us. And we've gotta recognize that, because if we don't, then we'll walk out in the world and, I don't know, if we start kinda getting thrown off the word a little bit, then you won't think of it as the devil. You'll just be like, oh, that's just my friends, I don't know, I'll be okay, and you just kinda ignore it for a while. But it's the devil. I mean, unbelievers are children of disobedience, it says somewhere in Ephesians, and Satan works in the children of disobedience. No matter how nice somebody may seem, Satan works in the children of disobedience, and we gotta watch out for that. And, you know, we can reach out and speak the word to them, so, just to bring them out of that and everything. But, I don't know, you just gotta watch out for that. And, I don't know, you just gotta realize how valuable you really are. And don't waste your lives on people who really don't want the word. Because you could be out saving people, giving them the word of life. We can't waste our lives, because we're so valuable to God. And, of course, we're not that valuable because of something we did. We're valuable because of something Christ did. We gotta remember that, too. And, I don't know, just don't waste your lives on people who aren't going to accept the word, and people who don't want it, because we can spend our time on people who really do want it, and people who have never heard the words of life and how much God loves us. We need to get out there and spread the word, because it's important. Our lives are so valuable, and God loves us so much. We need to spread that out. This week, I don't know, I realized so many things that I need to change in my life, and I don't know, I'm just excited for the rest of my life after everything I've learned, you know? I don't know. I'm just really, really blessed. Don't forget how valuable you are, guys. That's it. God bless.
Hi, I'm Christina Williams. I'm 15, and this was my second year at teen camp. And what blessed me a lot this year was just seeing God in action and seeing the body of Christ. Like, everyone was walking in love, and everyone had a hunger to learn God's word and get to know him better and have a better relationship with him, and people were getting healed. And it was just such a reminder how God is bigger than anything in this world. And like Kristen said, our lives are important. Like, if all of us went out just totally walking with God and putting our trust in him, that's like 144 Christs in this world. And we can have the devil shaking in his boots and totally flip this world around if we just put all of our trust in God. And that's really all I wanted to share. It was just how much of a blessing it was to be around believers who wanted to have a stronger relationship with God. So, thanks.
My name is Brennan Kelly. I'm 16. This is my fourth year at teen camp. And the big thing was just that I saw was that we're in a constant battle of words, that there are evil words that are going to tear down at us. They're going to try and rip the word of God from our hearts. And that's just going to be what is going to be against us, not, you know, some big flaming demon probably isn't going to come out and try and persecute us, but it's going to be those words of evil, of death. But on the same token, the words of life from God, you know, words of wisdom are going to save people. They're going to help us. They're going to comfort us. And it's just, we need to keep that word grafted in our hearts, because if we know a bunch of the words just in our minds, if we don't have it just buried in our hearts and just in there, it's not going to do too much for us. You know, we'll be able to, okay, you know, we'll know a bunch of verses, but we won't have it just in there, just live it. We won't be able to live our lives without that word in our hearts. And it's just something that I saw, that we all just need to just keep the word in our hearts, because that's the most important thing is God, because there's nothing really for us in this world. And, you know, it's a light affliction in comparison to eternity. So I just, that's all I wanted to share, just to keep the word just in our hearts like that. So.
Hi, I'm Christy Young, and I'm 13, and this is my first year at teen camp. And it was just so awesome to see the love of God at work. I mean, the moment I stepped out of the car, I was hugged by a complete stranger. I mean, I was like, hi, nice to meet you too. But and it was just so cool because, sorry, we have the power to change our hearts. We can change our minds and believe God's word. I mean, if we put the word on in our hearts, it's going to come out of our mouths. And same with crappy stuff. If we put that in our hearts, it's going to come out of our mouths. And the devil didn't know that when Christ died, all Christ's power would be transferred to anyone who believed he would die and rose again. So instead of when Christ has to deal with like 3 billion, and he's pissed off, and he's trying to get at our hearts, and he knows he's going down, and he's just trying to get us, because he knows when Christ comes back, he is going down. So, and in order to live a life for God, you have to have humility towards God. You have to know that you're smaller than God, and that he knows better than you do. You can't think you know better than God, because you don't. You couldn't create the heavens and the earth, no matter how hard you tried. You couldn't do that. And it just, Tom's teaching really blessed me, because God sees us righteous and unblameable in his sight. We shouldn't think bad about ourselves, because if anyone should be God, but he doesn't, so we shouldn't. And God loves us, and he cares about us. And if we let him, he's right outside the door. We just need to open it and let him in. And if we let him, he could be our best friend. He's always with us, and he loves us. And that's all I had to share.
I'm Abby Oki, and this is my first year at teen camp, and I'm 13. what I wanted to share was just a bunch of stuff that happened the whole week that blessed me. Like, when you arrive there, like, as soon as you get out of the car, everyone just gives you a hug, and it's, like, so much of a blessing because you don't even know them, but they love you anyway with, like, the love of God. And they just help you do everything and get situated. And it's nice to see, like, all the love of all the teens all in one place and all together like a body. And it's not, like, just your friends and family that loves you and, like, you're at home and stuff like that. It's, like, everyone. And you can really, like, enjoy it, too. Like, all the teens and stuff, they're pretty much around your age. And you can just see, like, everything that they do, and you're like, yeah, I can do that, too. You're the same age as me. Like, if I had the believing, I could do that. And then you just keep growing in the Word. And also, like, in Colossians, that was one of the books we covered, the Apostle Paul, like, there was this record in Colossians 2:2, and he was just praying for all these people, and he didn't even know who they were. He didn't even meet them. And also, it gives you a chance to really see, like, what you want to do with your life, like, if you want to live for God or if you don't. And there's no one that's going to choose that for you. You have to make your own decision. And it's really clear, too. Like, the teachings were really great, too. Tom did a very good teaching on Tuesday that I don't think anyone didn't get blessed by. And it was, like everyone else said, about how precious you are and how much you matter. And you can't let the devil talk you out of that. Because if he does, he wins. He, like, has defeated you. Like, it also said, like, a broken spirit, like you're sorrowed and stuff. Like, in one of the books, I think it was Proverbs, but I can't remember. And I just got so blessed, like, the whole week. Like, just in the first 2 days, I was blessed as I've ever been. I didn't even know you could be that blessed. And if you really had, like, eyes to see and ears to hear, you could see the power in this camp and what happens and how much it does for so many people. And when you go, how much it does for yourself, too. I mean, you can even see the change. And it just makes me want to, like, speak about the hope and tell people before it's too late, because they want the Word of Life, like, as bad as, I don't know, like, anything. That's what they really need. And you just have to remember to hide the Word in your heart and always just keep reading the Word. The more you read, the more you hunger for it, and the more you even want to read. And it's so great to know that, like, if you've had a bad day, you can just come back and read the Word. And this camp really made me think about, like, what I want to do with my life, how do I want to live it, what I want to become, all of that stuff. And it just made me think, I want to live for God. That's what I want to do with my whole life. That's all I want to do, every second.
You know, she brought up a great point that we don't teach the teens they have to live for God. We don't. You know, we don't bring them in for a week and program them so that we send home a perfect young teen who has to live for God. Now, we don't scare them into living for God. We tell them very clearly that you don't have to. But if you want to, we'll teach you how. I think the reason so many of the teens after a week at that camp want to live for God is because of the examples that they see of others who are living for God. And then they see those examples and they say, well, I want to be like that. So, yeah, teach me the Word so I can learn how to live for God. You moms and dads, what happens from here? A lot of it's up to you. Because if they see an example of religion at home, if they see an example of going through the motions once a week and God's not in it, well, that's going to speak loudly to them as well. You see, one of the reasons that some of these kids get so excited about living for God, I think, is because of the examples they see. You know, we had one girl in particular who was brand spanking new. And the first couple days, right, she was telling, don't you hug me. I don't know you. And Friday night, she was just, this is the life I always needed. I just never knew it was out there. Everybody needs to know about this. I love you all so much. And not because she learned Greek and Hebrew in a week, you know, but she saw some examples of something she'd never seen before. And that made her want to live for God. Now, if she sticks with what she learned, she will live for God. But the desire came from the example that she saw, you know, and that's, it happens every year. And it speaks loudly to me in terms of our job is to give them the equipment to live for God, but it's the examples they see that give them the desire to live for God, you know, and that'll continue to be true throughout the coming years. So, sorry I interrupted, Yanni. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Annie Sheck, and this is my second year at teen camp. I'm 14 years old. And something that really, really blessed me was... something that really, really blessed me was how we can, like, stand for God. And this world is going to call us worthless. This world is going to call us not important. But we are important. We are precious to God. And just hide that word in your heart, because this world is going to throw stuff at us. But we just got to remember who we are in Christ and not be ashamed of that. And it just really, like, hit me on Tuesday night, and it is a spiritual battle, and we just need to realize that, and we need to hide that word in our heart. And something that really blessed me was prayer and how powerful that is to have, and we can't take it for granted because it is something we need to have. And just how Paul prayed for people he didn't even know, and how we can do that too, and bless them that curse you and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. And that word bless means speak well of them that curse you. And that is just so amazing to me. Like, I don't know, it's just so cool, like, how we can just pray for them, people that we don't even know. And it just really blessed me, this whole camp, and just everybody working together in the body. And people are going to come and go, but God's word is still going to stand. And we got to put that in our heart. And we can live for God, and we can make that decision in our lives. And it doesn't matter what age we are, we can stand for God. And I don't know, it just really blessed me. And just what one of the girls said, like, man, I just was so miserable at the beginning of camp, but at the end of camp, it was just, I know I want to live for God, and that's my comfort, and He is my strength, He is my refuge, He is my rock. And it was just really cool and just such a blessing to be at that camp. And at the beginning of camp, I didn't want to really come. I was kind of miserable, and I was kind of like, I don't want to go. But then, like, at the end of camp, I was like, God told me to be there. God wanted me to be there. Because, like, I learned so much from that camp that I can live for God. And I can just remind each other who we are in Christ. And just put that word in our heart. And just, it's just such a blessing. And that's what I got blessed by.
Hi, my name is Catherine Laughlin. I am 15. This is my second year there. I got blessed by a lot of things. Just the one teaching that mainly hit me was what Tom did. It was about friendship. And it really hit me because my year in eighth grade, it really sucked because my friends, I thought, were my friends, but they weren't. Because I thought if I told them the word, they would just laugh at me, so I didn't. And the adversary just really kicked my butt because I just wanted friends, but I didn't want friends to make fun of me. And but what Tom did for, what Tom said was, for you to find out who your true friends are, was take them to a room and tell them, and have, like, emotions, like, yeah, I learned something, let me tell you about it. And when I found out, like, after you're done telling about the word, you And whoever comes out with you is like, who wants to be your friend and who wants to learn the word? So this has really blessed me, because if I did that, if I did that, I would have found out who my true friends were instead of the friends I did have. But before I heard that teaching that Tom did that really hit me, was my mom and my older sister Jenna would tell me that those people aren't your friends, and I'm like, and I just blew them off because I was just saying, yeah, they are. They just don't know. But after I heard that teaching, I mean, I was hurting myself because I was just blowing those two off, and it just really hit me that I should have listened to them, and I should have just spoke the words to the people I thought were my friends, and that's something I just wanted to share.
Katie Sink, I'm 15, and this is my second year at teen camp. Your whole life, you are told, put God first, put family second, put friends third. You know, family as family of God and your immediate family. And that really never hit me until I came to teen camp. Because there was so much other crap that I was putting before God. And you realize that once you put God first, everything else is going to be so much better, and everyone else is going to be so much blessed, and so much more blessed. And the way that you can do that, God just says it so plainly in His Word. Like, in the morning, you know, you get up, and so much stuff is going through your head, and you just need to take time every morning to get up and say, you know, I'm not getting out of bed till I know I'm living for God today. And I'm not getting out of bed until, I'm not letting my feet touch the ground until I know that I have peace with God. And stuff's going to come with you through the day. And you might slip up every single day, you know? But you can still go back and say, God doesn't care. I can live for God now. I can change that now. And in Psalm 46:10, at the beginning says, be still and know that I am God. And that verse really hit home for me this week. You know, God's everywhere. And if you just take time to just think about that, that God is going to help you. And once you have peace with God, Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. The two things that you have to remember, that once you have peace with God, He's going to give you strength, no matter what you're going through. You know, you can't say, my life is so much worse than somebody else. No, He's going to give you peace, and He's going to give you strength. You just need to settle down and trust God with everything in your life. So that's what I wanted to share.
Hi, I'm Angela Enberg. This is my second year. I'm 14. This year was just amazing for me. Like, last year, I was so blessed, but last year can't even, like, compare to this year. It's just everything was just so on the word and so such a blessing. And one thing that really blessed me outside of the teachings was that it was just everywhere you went, you saw people getting healed, and you saw people speaking in tongues for the first time, and people just praying to God with their whole hearts about situations that they knew they couldn't handle, and they needed God's assistance in it. And you just saw people so moved, and not by like a TV show or something, but it was by like the Word of God being taught to them. And I mean, it was just made me really want to actually like live the Word of God and not just go to camp and be like, oh, I'm so blessed, but then like when school comes around be like, oh, well, I'm not really not living the Word of God or something like that. And it's like, I don't want to compromise myself to fit in with the world. I don't want to fit in with the world. The world is it's going to tear me down. And I don't know, like it's so easy to live the Word at teen camp when you have believers all around you. But it really blessed me that the teachings, they were like, they showed us how to live the Word of God when we were in the world. And it's so much harder than when there's people that are deliberately trying to get you off the Word, and people that are just, that's what they want, is for you to just be like, oh, no, it's only such something that some little thing, and they're like, oh, it's little, it's not that big of a deal. But then it's like little things turn into big things, and we learned that, like, you have to start with the little things to live God's word and make the little things count, because little things turn into big things. And just one little thing can end up taking up your entire life. And just this week really made me want to live the word so much. And it made me just like, because I'm going to high school next year, and I don't want my high school to be like my middle school. I don't want to not speak the word to people. And just, I want to speak the word to people that need the word. And I don't want to be friends with people that are going to bring me down, because I did that a lot during middle school. And it was just, I wouldn't even notice it. But this week really, really showed me how much that my friends right now from my school and friends from work and stuff were just bringing me down. And I don't know, it was such an eye-opener, and it showed me just what my life can be and how important I am to God, and why would I want to waste that love that I have on stupid stuff that doesn't even matter, and the stuff that's not going to help me. It's only going to bring me down so much. And I don't know, it was just a blessing to me. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ruth Butz. I'm 17. This was my first year at camp, and I had no clue what I was walking into. One of the things we learned in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And that word fear means to be in awe of something. And that hit me. You know, the bigger you make God, I mean, the more blessed you're going to be. When you realize he founded this earth, he made it for us, and he wanted us to be his children. And so then when you read verses like in Revelation 21, verse 4, it says, "And God shall wipe away all of their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for former things are passed away." When you read verses like that about the hope, you go, wow, this world doesn't matter. Things in this world, they're just of this world. I mean, but you know, what you have with God, that's gonna be for eternity. And if you think about it, that's like forever. And so, you know, and it'll be that much more real to you. And you'll be like taking a nap during the day, and you'll hear this like really soft this really soft, sweet sound, and you'll wake up and you'll go, "Christ is coming back!" Oh, okay. And you'll go right back to sleep, because he's that real to you. And one thing I learned was about the power of prayer, and how you can pray for hunger for God's word, and he'll answer it. I was like, you can do that? You can pray for hunger and God will give you hunger for his word? I mean, I never thought about it like that. I mean, you can pray for it for other people, but you can also do it for yourself. You know? It was so amazing, and I was so blessed. And I mean, I'm going to walk away with so much from this camp, and that's all I had to share, so thank you.
I'm Gracie Davis. I'm 16, and this is my second year at teen camp, and I really like boys. I like boys a lot, and I like makeup, I like clothes, I like shopping, I like everything that girls like. I like a lot, but you know, I really, really took that to a limit this year. I really desired what man had. I really wanted to live like everyone else that I saw that was, oh man, their hair is so cute, their clothes, just look at them. Their life just must be so good. But you know, you scratch that surface and it's not. It's like, it's disgusting. It's like, ugh, your hair's not cute anymore, you know? And that really blessed me, you know, because Tom taught that a fool is not cute, you know? What was I thinking? That's not sexy. That's disgusting. And, you know, I don't want people to see that in me. I want them to see the light that I have. I don't want them to see what, you know, if I put that in my heart, that's what people are going to see, you know? And I don't want that, you know? I want to impress God, not those dorky, cool people, you know? Who cares? You know? You're never going to impress them because they're always going to find something that's wrong with you. It's not worth it. And, you know, God's going to love you no matter what you look like, what your hair looks like, you know, that you didn't wear makeup today, that your mascara is smudged and it just won't come off, you know? And I was just really blessed with that, you know? And, you know, sometimes you have to stop and say, wait, am I serving God or am I serving this world? And like in Matthew 6, verse 24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and the mammon. You know, who are you serving, God or the girl next to you with a nice butt and pretty eyes, you know? Which one? But that really hit home for me this week, so.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Jeff.
Hi.
Thanks, Brian.
I'm Chaz Goddard. I'm 19 years old, and this is my seventh year at teen camp. I would have to say that this was probably the most powerful teen camp I've ever been to. I've seen a lot of healing. I've seen a lot of, you know, just not being hearers, but also doers in the word, you know? And it was just a great thing because I myself got healed twice, you know, and wow, you know, we really do have that power, you know? You do have that power as a brother or sister in Christ, you know? And it was just really cool because I came to camp with a hardened heart because, you know, I put off the word in my life. I neglected the word. So I had a hardened heart. I walked into camp like, don't talk to me. I'm making fun of you. You know, we really shouldn't because, you know, you're hurting the body if you're making fun of your brother or sister in Christ or anybody. You really just shouldn't anyway. But the really cool thing that I saw was, you know, that, you know, me getting healed, if that's all I got out of camp, then, you know, that was worth it, you know, because God really did heal my, I mean, I had a stomach ache, you know, and we hear manifestations all the time. Come to me with any care or need. You know, we heard it today. You know, that we can come to God with any care or need, whether it's a stomach ache, diabetes, you know, car insurance. And it's just such a great thing. I'd like to thank George James and Alfred Covington because, you know, that power that, you know, they used that power. You know, they really were doers of the word. It's just such a great thing. It blessed my heart, you know. It blessed me physically, too, because, you know, I got healed of the pain that I had inside of me, but it was also a spiritual healing for me as well. How can I doubt God now? Why would I want to put off the things that I've grown up with? I've grown up in the Word all my life. That's all I know, you know, and I put it off this year. I put it off every year from teen camp. I come back, I'm so blessed, 3 weeks, and then, you know, back in the poop chute. So, you know, I let that fire get extinguished, and I really shouldn't, and I can't doubt the power of God, you know, because I really got to see it transpire in my life. And it just blessed me how, you know, in the body of Christ, how we all help each other out. And that's all I really wanted to share. And that's just what blessed me so much. And, you know, I'm really going to live the word of God in my life. And I'm not just going to say that in front of you guys. You guys will see it. I'll help you guys out. Please help me out. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Brian Mirko. I'm 21. I'm from Sacramento, California, and this is my third year at teen camp. First of all, coming into this week, I was really reproved. I mean, I saw from the Word that I was doing something wrong. I was not really living the Word before in the past year. I got really tricked into thinking that I still need something out of the world. I was turning to the world for advice. I was, you know, I thought, because the adversary had tricked me into thinking that, you know, God's not as good as he says he is. Or is there something you still need from the world? Is there something you could still get out of the world? You know, benefit from the world, you know, that you're lacking, you know, and you look at the world and you're like, yeah, you're lacking from them. You're not like them, you know, but it's, and it was crazy. I mean, I started to like envy the sinners, and it says in the word not to. It says to stand in awe of God, and that's what we should do, and I saw that. I mean, it's crazy. Like, why would you envy? It's like envying a dead body. I mean, what kind of BS is that? I mean, come on. I mean, I mean, just the foolishness, the stupidness of it, you know? I also saw from the Word, I grew in my desire to read the Word and study the Word, because I was lazy before. I wasn't really reading a whole lot of the Word, going to the Word on my own, you know, just hearing from a teaching. And that really blessed me too, because I was reading, I got to learn to read verse by verse, well, chapter, verse by verse, and then word by word for what the Word is saying and how it applies to your life. Because this is our manual for life. This, you know, it's not just, you know, something that's, you know, philosophical or conceptual. Well, you know, this is a good idea. This is a good concept. You know, some people are living this, but, you know, it's not for everybody. No. It's for all of us, you know, because we're all born again. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And this week I also, too, saw everybody there as not just friends, like I used to see in the past, but actually my family. I actually saw as a family of God, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I was so blessed. And this whole week, I was just so blessed. And when I was, when I was walking carnally, there's just so much more bondage and garbage that goes with that. It's just harder. It's not easier. The devil tempts you into thinking it's funner or there's something you're missing. And it's just, there's just so much more just garbage, just stuff that doesn't, unnecessary, that doesn't need to be there, that the natural man's living like, and we don't need to be living like that, you know, because we've been called to this. And this is a higher standard. Why was I lowering my standard, you know, to something I don't need, it's just the devil tricking me, you know, again. And I just want to remember what God's called me from, and that's important. And, you know, knowing that, it'll help you to look at others in the world and want to call them, you know, from the darkness unto light, or show them the Word so that they can get born again, or show them the Word, even if they are Christians. Because I used to think that, well, me hanging around Christians, you know, even if they're carnal, they could be carnal, and, you know, I'm okay still. I'm okay. They're still Christians. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that, you know, and just lowering my standard, you know. Oh, you know, but I want to be around believers that really stand on the Word, because it helps me so much, and I feel more blessed than if I'm just, you know, going along with whatever. And also, I can't remember anything else. Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, I can't. All right. Bless you.
Hi, I'm Nathan Frank. I'm 17. This is my second year at teen camp. And when you look around at teen camp, it's really delivering. I got there the first night, and I just took a step back and looked around. To the right of me, someone was speaking the Word to someone, and there was tears and joys in their eyes. You know, to the left of me, someone's ministering healing. You know, and behind me, someone's just edifying someone else, and they're hugging each other. And it just, I sat back and thought about how important each one of us is. You know, we all have that same spirit. God's given us all the same thing. And we all need each other so much. I need all of you just as much as you need me. And when we don't walk on what God's called us to walk in, we're letting everybody down. We're letting the whole body down. You know, it's a great analogy. You know, I got this finger here. You can't say I don't need the finger. It's very important. Just as important as my head is, as my foot is. We all need each other. And it just helped me realize that how much I need to walk out and speak what God is telling me to speak. Because if you look to God every morning but when you get up before you walk out and ask God what I can do for you today, He's going to tell you what to do, and everybody has something to do. And you just listen to that still small voice, and He's going to tell you what to do. And you pray. And I can feel the prayer at teen camp, because everybody's praying, and they're getting delivered because God's telling me, you know, you got to speak to this person. I knew they were praying. And I did, and it, you know, we can't ignore that voice. It's there. We all have that spirit inside of us, and it's just a lot of great words being spoke. And it doesn't only have to be at teen camp; it can be all the time, because we all have that same spirit. And God's and the price that's been paid for all of us. I'm just starting to realize how important every member is. And a verse that hit me pretty hard that I looked at was Proverbs 20. It's in Proverbs 21. It says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." That word fitly spoken, as God desired you to speak it, is very important. And we just need to walk out on that, and we'll see great things.
Thanks. Hi, my name is Amanda Greatham. I'm 17, and this was my fifth year at teen camp. And I just wanted to share a verse with you guys that really blessed my heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Our hearts are absolutely vital to God. And so we need to not be scared about what's in our hearts. And we need to not be scared about being honest with our Heavenly Father. If there's something in your heart that's keeping you back from trusting your Father or from loving your brothers and sisters with all the love that God loves you with, or from just believing who you are in Christ, you can go to God's word for wisdom, because that's why he's given it to us. So that's all.
My name is Robert Donahue. I'm 17. This is my fourth year at teen camp, and I was blessed to be a leader at teen camp this year. I got to watch over five other believers there, and it was awesome learning to trust God and look to him for everything that I needed. I mean, not just, you know, I need a new car or I need to get to my house on time, but, you know, trusting God to show you what to do, to lead other people and to teach them. And it was awesome that, you know, it says in Proverbs, "He that trusts in his own heart is a fool." You know, and then again in Proverbs 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." You know, so I decided to do that, and I saw the fruit of that. I mean, I saw the people in my fellowship, they got blessed this past week. And, you know, I also decided to put the word on in my heart. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, like Amanda said. You know, if you put the word in your heart, it'll start coming out. By the end of the week, after 6 days of all of us putting the word in, shoving it into our hearts, not putting anything else in, it started to come out. You know, you saw people speaking the word to each other and edifying each other, and, you know, it's because they put the word on and they put it into their hearts and they rejected everything else. So that's all. Thank you.
Hello, my name's Tim, and I'm 20 years old, and I think this is number 7 or 8. I want to say 8, but that doesn't make too much sense, because I'm minus 20, minus 13. But anyway, the important stuff. Colossians 3:12 says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Something Tom and Jeff stressed was that Epaphras would be the man who was praying for everyone while they were sleeping. And I tell you, we see God's word live in everyone's hearts and lives at teen camp every single year. And what's really cool to recognize is that it's because of prayer. More prayer goes into this camp than any other camp I think I ever go to, as far as the amount of people praying and believing together, that people receive God's word, that people rise up and believe God's word. I know my prayer level for my fellowship group this year was extremely high. And you see a lot of great and wonderful things occur when you decide to pray for people. And if you notice in that verse, it said that he labored. Something also taught was, you know, that we can pray so much that we can work. That's how much these men prayed for each other, and you saw the Word of God live. And I tell you, we see the Word of God live in camp, but what I was really thinking about and want to share is how much can the Word of God live and grow in everyone's hearts after camp. Because people always say how crappy their year was, and that's a bunch of crap. You know? I think we need to be praying for people after teen camp, that people keep the word in their hearts. And I just think that's extremely important, and that's the example you see in God's word. You know, you look in the word, that's what you see, pray without ceasing, not just once a year for teen camp. So I wanted to share that. Love you guys.
Well,
Good morning. My name is Andrew Parkhurst, and I am 20, and this was my seventh year at camp. And when I learned that we were going to be going over Proverbs, that's a book that I've actually never gone through myself before, or that I was almost afraid to. I was like, you know, why? You know, I need to be reading Romans and righteousness, and yes, I do. But I was like, I don't know. You know, it, for my life, I never saw what was in Proverbs, basically because I didn't read it and I was just ignorant of it. And when I finally realized and was taught from Proverbs all the truths in there, like the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge, the, you know, that we need to keep our hearts, that we need to put the word in our hearts and keep it there, and how our lives we can live for God. And how much I learned that from Proverbs. I mean, reading through Romans makes more sense and is more a part of my life, you know, because of the fact that I, you know, learned maybe just the fact that I need to be humble to God's word, that I'm nothing without God, that I'm nothing good comes from myself. And that comes from the word, and that comes from the truths of the word, that you constantly go there and you find yourself, that you find life that's not just cunningly devised fables, but it is everything that we need. And something for my group that really blessed me, that just an analogy was, you know, you can give a man a fish and feed him for a day, or you can teach a man how to fish and feed him for a lifetime. And that's the thing about this week, is we got fed so much, we got blessed so much. It was real. There's nothing fake about it. But if we walk out and still say, I remember the good old days where it was real then, and that week, if we don't realize that every single time we read the word and believe it, God is backing it up, and God is the one that will just make it real and make everything just work. That it's not the people, it's not the other people believing God's word. Sure, that helps, but it is God that's backing up his word. And if we go to it in our lives, if we learn how to just feed ourselves for the rest of our lives, it'll be real every single day of our lives. And that's because of God's word, and because of the author of God's word, God, who does love us and does back up his word. So that's what I wanted to share with you guys.
Okay. One thing I wanted to mention, you figured out we got into Proverbs quite a bit. One thing, you know, I don't know if I can vouch for every statement that was made, like this is the best teen camp ever. You sort of find as you do the camps over the course of however many years it's been that every given year somebody says, this is the best camp ever, and it's more a matter of their readiness to receive the word than it is of anything that we figured out this year to do better or different. It's great to see, however. But, you know, the main thing I wanted to point out to you here, you know, you're listening to a lot of these young people saying, hey, it's black and white, death and life. You know, we're either serving the devil or serving God. And I know that for some adults, they hear things like that, they say, oh, isn't that great? Isn't that quaint? You know, now, of course, they'll grow up and realize that there is gray, not just black and white. No, that's you. That's you. I would encourage you to learn from these guys, because one of the great things we covered is when you come to God's word, God says very plainly there's no gray. So if my senses, my experience, my feelings, my opinions tell me that there's this whole gray area, and God says no, there's no gray area, then one of us is right and one of us is wrong. One of the great things we looked at all week was that there are really only two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom of God, and there's everything else. And one of the challenges of the wisdom of God is it never seems to make sense. What God says about friends didn't really line up with our senses, did it, guys? What God says about money, what God says about virtually everything, is not what you would choose to do by your five senses. That's why it's called believing, you know? So I hope they never, quote-unquote, grow up and realize that there's all this gray area, because there really isn't. There really isn't. Yes, there is a devil, and yes, he does want to hinder the things of God, and that would certainly include those who stand for God and speak His word. And that's not just a nice step to adulthood, that's reality. If you have stepped off of that, then you've stepped off of spiritual adulthood and into some kind of quagmire, and no wonder nothing's happening for you. So I would encourage you to learn from these teens. If you've been tricked into thinking life is just gray for the Christian, and of course, you know, in Sunday school it's nice to teach them black and white because that's all they can understand. But when they get older, like us, we understand that there's shades of gray in the Christian walk. No. If that's your opinion, sit down with one of these young men or women for a night and let them teach the word to you. And I think you'll learn differently, because what they're sharing today is not based by and large on a bunch of emotion. It's based on what they learned from God's word. So with that being said, we have a few more sharings. So, Josh.
Hi, I'm Josh Thomas. I've been to teen camp every year. This is the first year I've been able to be, I was asked to be on staff. So it was a great privilege. Got to see a different side of camp. The one thing that stuck out to me that you guys might not know, because I wasn't as aware of it until I was on staff, was that the staff really isn't doing a lot of ministering to the teens. They're not, a lot of the one, most 98% of the one-on-one helping, encouraging, counseling, healing is being done by the teens, which was really exciting to me, because basically Tom and Jeff just speak God's word. And if you've been a part of this fellowship for any amount of time, you wouldn't learn anything new if you came to teen camp. So don't be afraid that, oh, I missed some teaching at teen camp that I can't live like these teens are talking about living, because it's the same stuff. Honestly, it is. But what happens is Tom and Jeff put the word out there, and the teens receive it. And then we step back, and we allow them to do what God's working in them to do. And it's really exciting. It was a great testimony to the power of the word of God to work, because it wasn't only the fellowship leaders either healing. I heard about, you know, others that weren't fellowship leaders healing, because Tom and Jeff once again put the word out there, and then, you know, somebody responded, and then you have everyone doing that. And so that was just, I thought that might bless you guys to realize that there really was a lot of maturity from the young guys this year. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys continue with it, and so don't get talked out of it. All right, love you guys.
Hi, my name's Claire Thomas. I've been here since the beginning, and just like Josh, I was asked to be on staff this year, which was amazing. It does give you a different perspective of teen camp, because just what Josh said, we hear the word of God taught here, and it's exactly the same thing. But, you know, there are a couple differences, like they have a hunger and a desire to help each other and believe it themselves. And I still got taught and reproved going. And one of the things that is working on my heart right now is, you know, I want to learn how to do healing and casting out spirits and a lot of practical things that should be every day in a Christian's life. And, you know, we went over Proverbs, which is extremely practical, but, you know, they never taught how to heal. And yet people were healing people for the first time, and I'm like, how did they do that? They weren't taught how to do this. But the first thing that we learned from Proverbs was the fear of God, and how that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of knowledge. And that's what it took. You know, someone said, well, God is bigger than me, so whatever he says, it's smarter. He knows what he's talking about. And they were willing to step out and trust that and realize, I might seem like I'm being foolish right now, but God said this, and he's bigger than me. And they healed, and they spoke the word to people, and they never done that before. So that's what hit me.
Just have to throw in, you know, the staff for teen camp are some of the most deeply spiritual men and women I've ever worked with, and it requires a real a powerful confidence in who you are in Christ. Because for the very reason Josh mentioned, that people think that, boy, I want to be on staff. We get requests a mile long. I want to be on staff because they think that means I can walk around and minister to the teens and sit with a group of teens under the tree and share my great knowledge with them. That's exactly what we're trying not to do. literacy, we're trying to raise them up. You know what our staff does as far as the senses are concerned? They cook and serve food. That's all anybody ever sees. And in the senses realm, some years that's all they ever actually physically do. But what they actually do is so much more that if you don't understand it, I could never explain it to you. That's why it requires deeply spiritual men and women. And only a couple of them are sharing today. But man, oh man, oh man, if it's ever something God called you to, you could count it a high honor. Because I know many people who are very good at a variety of capacities who could never handle being on staff because they're not doing enough. You know, they're not doing enough. They're just walking with God and ready to do what God wants. And that's a difficult thing still for many Christians to maintain. So our staff are sure wonderful. Who's next? Okay, great, Sean.
Hi, bless you guys. I'm Sean Frithioff. This is my 19. This is my seventh year at teen camp. And this year, I just really probably had the most amount of spiritual growth and knowledge just of just any other year, just because, I mean, I really learned a lot of wisdom and just about a lot of things in general, just like, you know, who we hang out with or you know, what we put in our hearts, but in just in general, just a lot of wisdom. But I just want to share some stuff that really blessed me, and might bless you guys too. Well, first of all, it says in the Word, you know, that the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge, I mean of wisdom. And well, basically, you know, just taking God at His word, realizing that He knows more than us. You know, that He created this universe and just He's spoken into being, and it's just He holds it in the palm of His hand. Who knows more than about life and the issues there of us or God, you know? So it's just kind of like, you know, if God says to do something, we should do it and just take Him at His word. If God says something about us, if He says that you're righteous or you're complete or you're holy, what does that mean? You're righteous, you're complete, you're holy, you know? And don't let the devil trick you out of that, you know? Because we may wake up and feel, I don't really feel like what God says about me today. No, you know, that's emotions. We shouldn't let our life be run by emotions. I really learned a lot about that this week too, but we should just stand and believe God's word and hide in our hearts and realize what He says about us is true no matter what. And we can be a threat to the devil. We can be just, you know, each one of you guys out there, if you endeavor to do the word, you can be a threat to the devil. You can change someone's life. You can change someone's fate to eternal death, to eternal life. And you know, not only that, but the body of Christ, you can just edify one another too. I've really seen the body of Christ work this week. I mean, a lot better than I always have, you know, just realizing that things I can do really bless people, or vice versa, things that other people do bless me a lot too, you know. And, you know, if you hide the word in your heart and just believe it, that's all it is, and we won't get taken out if you just believe God's word. So, love you guys.
My name is Edward. This is my second year at teen camp. And first year at teen camp, when I got home, I stayed in my house for about a month. I didn't want to go out and face the world because there was so much work going on. And when I got back to school, they slowly dragged it away from my heart. And I got into a lot of stuff and I had a terrible accident. And I'm thankful to God that I'm still alive today after that accident. And when I got back to the teen camp again this year, there was so many people that just came up and hugged me and told me I was great. And not like the natural world that'll tell you, oh, you're no good at that, or you can't do this, or whatever. But I was talking to a special someone down by the lake, and we were talking for hours about the word, and we were so excited about it. We started jumping around and dancing around and arms everywhere, and she was like a little child, but I'm not going to mention her name. She's in her right, Amber. Yeah. But it was pretty cool just to talk to all the believers about the word and show each other new things that we learned in the week and how to get on in life and walk and talk with God. And my goal for this year is to stand for the word and show new people what the word is, and probably next year bring a few from Ireland over again. So I love all you guys and I want to thank you so much.
Nina McCall. I'm 17. This was my fifth year at camp, I think. Fifth? You heard all the teens, a lot of them, almost every single person, get up here and talk about, you know, how worthy they are. You know, how, like, yeah, we're really worth it. And, yeah, that's true. But you know who else is worth it? Every single person sitting next to you. Who else is worth it is those people that walked away from God. You know? I've heard so many times people be like, oh, where's so-and-so? You know, I haven't seen them in a while. Where have they been? You know? And I'm like, well, you know, they aren't at fellowship anymore. Oh, really? You know? Stop judging. Maybe they need you to love them. You know? I just realized how many times I ask people, oh, where's so-and-so? And then like, oh, well, they should be here. Yeah, they should. Why aren't they here? Do you know? Do you know why they're not here? Maybe you offended them. Maybe they're hurt. Maybe they need something. Maybe all they need is your ministry. They need you to walk over and be like, you're worth it. I need you. Get back here. You know, fix this, whatever's bothering you, because they need us and we need them. You know, how many arms and legs do we have to lose before we realize the body's not going to work without them? You know, we are so vital, but everyone else is too. And I just, you know, I want to be moved with compassion when I look on people. I don't want to see, oh, that's the person that blessed me. That's the person that spit on me, you know? I don't want to see that when I look at people. I want to see compassion. You know, I want to, especially with people out in the world, man. They need the word too. Well, that's that jerk, that blah, blah, blah. Well, they don't even have another way to live. So who, you know? No wonder they're a jerk. They have one way to live. Maybe you can teach them and they can have two ways. And they can have, you know, they can be, you know, they can walk and be blessed too. And I just, you know, I'm moved with compassion, you know. I look at you guys and no longer do I look at what you are wearing or what you did to me, but I look at Christ, because God sees Christ in every single one of you, and there's no reason why I shouldn't see that too, you know. Christ is so powerful, and what a man, you know, if you read about him, and God sees that in you, and you can see that in other people, you know. It's not just God looking down at you and saying, wow, you're full of Christ. It's us looking at each other saying, you're full of Christ. And I am not going to think anything less, because God has made you, and who the hell am I to make up anything else? And so that's what I want to share.
A great example, I think, of how we got into this week with the teens about the wisdom of God, you know, because you could make a case for, let's quit judging and love everybody. And, you know, and you could make a case for, hey, everybody needs to stand on the word, and both arguments are right, you know. And you could waste your life with either one also, because there are sometimes people who are so compassionate that they'll work with you 10 years after God tells them to stop. Then there's people who are so hard and require such high standards that they won't work with you at all, even when God tells them to. You know what I mean? And that's why the wisdom of God we saw is so required, because in that group of teens, you've got the whole range, don't you? Every kind of emotion, every kind of background, every kind of opinion, every kind of long suit and short suit. And what it comes down to is, what does God say? Obeying the wisdom of God, because we saw in Proverbs both things that God said about loving and caring for people, and also things God said about not hanging out with people. So what allows both of those extremes to coexist is God telling you to do it. Are you obeying his word, or are you obeying something less than his word, you see? So great example of that, Nina.
My name's Stephanie Schott. I'm 20, and this is my eighth year at teen camp. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. If God's word says that you have 9 manifestations available to you, if God's word says that you can love with his love, his perfect love, you can do it. God's word also says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All that God's word says about a Christian, about a son of God, that's who you are. That's what you have available to you. So don't be afraid. Don't doubt yourself. It has nothing to do with you. But just believe God's word about what he says.
Hi, I'm Tom Sheck. This is my fifth year. I'm 17. I just wanted to share something that really got drilled into my life this year. We hear a lot of good teaching. We come here every Sunday, hear great teachings. But do those teachings mean something to you? You know, we have to each apply this word of God to our hearts if you want it to live. You know, you guys out there that have been here 20 years now, you know, you're not going to just wake up one morning and see God's word living in your hearts. You have to start applying it, knowing what God says when you read it. You know, when God says you're righteous, do you think you're righteous? You know, and, you know, we need to constantly remind ourselves that. We have to be diligent reminding ourselves that, because, you know, God knows how much, how valuable we are to in this life, but, you know, there's also someone else that knows how valuable we are, and that's the adversary. You know, he's deadly scared of every one of you guys, you know. He knows what you guys can do to this world if you guys are standing on God's word and know what God's word says about you, you know. And we constantly have to remind ourselves that. We have to apply that to our lives, each one of us, you know. Each and every day, when you get up in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, what do you think? Oh, man, I'm just having a real bad day. No, you have to think, you know, I'm God, I'm righteous, I'm complete in God. This is another day to live God's word. You know, and I'm just, thought I would share that with you guys. You guys are all righteous. I love you, every one of you.
Okay, my name's Ian Thompson. I am 16 years old. This is my fourth year at Teen Camp. And one of the things that that we really got into was that was how our companions are the real people that affect us. And it says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And it says in chapter 22, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. And like, who wants a snare to your soul? Like, no one. We also looked a bit at Lot, but this is more than just like looking at, you know, other people, that we need to really think about who we're hanging out with and why we are hanging out with them. That do we are hanging out with them because we share like the same interest or whatever, but or hang out with them because we share the same Holy Spirit, and that's the one, that's what really matters. And we also kind of learn about how powerful words are, and that words come directly from the heart. And if we're hanging out with unbelievers, what do they have in their heart? They have death, and they have just the wisdom of the world, which is the wrong kind of wisdom that we don't want to have. So when they speak to us, that all they're speaking is words of death, and that's going to affect us. And it really affected me when I made a few decisions in my life, and I was really vexed. But thankfully, I can just make a few decisions and really get back on track. And also, another thing that we really need to be concerned about is, who are we trying to please? Are we trying to please men, or are we trying to please God? Are we not talking God's word to our friends because we think that they're going to think that we're strange? Are we going to speak God's word to them because we know that that's what God wants us to do? And so that's why we need to set our affection on things above. And we need to think about, instead of being concerned about the things that we can see, instead of thinking about, you know, what does that person think of me, we need to be concerned about what God has done with us and what kind of rewards we're going to be getting for our walk on this earth. And we need to recognize that God has, you know, existed for all eternity, and he's smarter than I am. I just really got blessed.
My name is Bridget Burke, and I'm 20, and this is my eighth year at Teen Camp. And what I really saw was that what God has promised, he's promised knowing that I'm able to believe it. And if you're sitting here, and wonderful, be joyful for the people that were able to see God work in their lives this week. But it's equally available to those of you who cannot come to Teen Camp. And if I bring myself to the Word thinking that I'm able to do less than what God has promised, then I'll see less. But it's my responsibility
if I want to see God work, it's my heart, it's my brain. And if I am sitting here in this fellowship today and wishing, oh man, I wish that I could have gone to teen camp and heard the word every, you know, three times a day, been a part of those fellowships, seeing people delivered, seeing healing. It's the same God that's still faithful, still works. And for those of us that were a part of it, it's still the same God that's still faithful and still works. And if you see less, it's your fault. And that's what I saw this week, was that I am able to come home and be blessed to be a part of a fellowship where I know that there's people that equally desire to know God. And if you see a need, it's your responsibility. And if you pass it off in your own life or somebody else's, there's an opportunity that you missed to see part of this. And this is not just 1 week of God. It's our entire lives that we're able together to glorify God and see Him work. That's all.
Well, before we sing a quick song to close out, Bridget reminded me, how many of you girls from Woodward upstairs are here? If you want to hear a real story about the power of God, you need to talk to them the night the lights went out and the bats came. And, you know, at camp, we've got dorm stewards. Those are people that we pray about. We believe God wants that person to oversee that room, take care of it, make sure the needs are met. And the night the bats came in, one of our little girls, who's pretty much like other teen girls, you know, she's concerned about her nails, but she just reached out and grabbed that bat, and she said, well, you know, these are my girls. God made me responsible, so He's going to give me the ability to do this, right? She just killed that baby. And a few of the girls had the joyous feeling of bats on their heads and faces and necks during the night, but they just knew God would protect them, and you're all still here, right? So you could hear all the gory details if you want, but I thought it was a great example. Knowing particularly young girls and bats don't generally go together too well, I thought another great example of the wonderful power of God. So I'm thankful that we spent a lot of time in the B-I-B-L-E. First, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the word for me. I stand upon the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Bible. One last thing. Be praying for our outreach house this week. They're getting ready for a wonderful year of walking with God. We would have spent a lot more time talking on it, except for teen camp. But you should note, seven of the eight of them, all eight of them were at teen camp. Seven of the eight were leaders at teen camp. That should tell you a lot about the men and women we're sending to Cambridge. So be praying for them, okay? God bless. Thanks for coming.